Hi.
Hello.
What's the vibe? What's the word?
Where are you listening from today? Seattle, New York, Chicago, Rio de Janeiro.
I really love Chicago.
I've never been.
It's a beautiful city.
I hear they have good beans.
Beans? It's funny though, because when I went, it was
Actually had a
actually.
bean salad.
No,
Oh,
there was like a thunderstorm, and so we couldn't go because like we could have gotten like shocked.
no, that's not true. That's
Yeah,
plastic.
no. But I stood, so we weren't allowed to be on the platform, but I got like a little close.
You got
But yeah,
underneath it.
no,
You have a photo literally directly
I'm not
underneath the
underneath
bean.
it though. That's the gag. I was like on one of the steps, so.
Wow, the power of Photoshop, y'all.
Yeah.
Good thing this is an audio experience.
But we also edit it, so I don't know.
Well, hi. If you're just tuning in and you're like, what's going on? What's happening? You are listening to Go to Notes. We're your hosts. My name is Jalen. Just call me Jay, actually. And I use the pronouns he, they.
My name is Zipporah, pronouns she, they.
And this is the episode about Black History Month.
Yeah,
Let's get into it.
sure.
So it's February,
Is February.
which means here in Canada, it is Black History Month.
It is, yeah. Oh, do you want? Oh, no, you don't watch Superstore. There's this one episode, like one of the characters, like he's super loud and he's like, "Yip, yew!" He does that like
That's
all the time
all the
after
time.
everything.
I tried to watch the first episode and I really hate that character, the one who's like,
Jonah?
yeah,
Yeah, he's really
oh,
annoying, but like
that
him and
is.
Amy are
That
insufferable.
is not okay. The first thing you do at the workplace
I
is you
know.
put all the prices down and then you hit on your floor
I
manager.
know, but
That
like.
is just, it just screams, it screamed no for me.
But the other characters are just so fucking rich. Like it's a really good show, I find. Like now I'm a little annoyed by a few characters, but it does get better. If you could
It sounds
like
like it got worse.
No, it gets no, like
It's not just Jonah, you got annoyed by more.
well, like another there's like so you know like the boss Glenn, like he tends like he after a while, like first you think that he's just like this ignorant, like hillbilly. But then you're like, oh no, like your
Yeah, he
ignorance is
was
actually very
playing. He
violent.
was. It is.
Yeah.
If he was playing like in shopping cart
Yeah.
crash course in the parking lot, episode one, it was too much.
Maybe,
Speaking
yeah.
of, are there any black people on that show?
It's a great question. They're all in like supporting roles. There's one actually, one main, I guess, Garrett. He's very funny as well.
Well,
But no black women, so as main characters, so that
yeah,
is problematic.
whack. And
Yeah.
the whole store.
I mean, there are like a there is one like black female like employee, but she definitely does not play a central role in the TV show. So yeah, I think that like shows that don't have black women in this day and age, or it's just very antiquated. Like I was watching The Circle France, and there was not one black, it was like literally all white.
That you know
And
that
I
is
was like,
shade boots because
so shit.
black
There are
women
so
in
many
French or
black.
black femmes or French in
There are so
general
many.
are just, well, not only are there so many, but you know
They
the
set the tone.
fashion,
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
bar of oh yeah, oh,
Yeah.
it's
They're
just on
trendsetters.
point,
Yeah.
on point. So that does not sit well with me.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than what like The Circle and this TV show are not doing for black people.
I mean, the Circle, funny enough, like the Circle Brazil was actually pretty diverse, which was nice. And oh, I think it's my favorite Circle. I watched the Circle USA, the Circle France, and the Circle Brazil. The Brazilian one was definitely my fave. But
What
yeah.
are, do you think it's like, I want to say like trendy to include black people, but do you think like that's like, I don't know, do you see more meaningful engagement of black people in media and more authentic representation, or do you just see like the, I don't know, we were
I
talking about this
guess.
kind of with Soul, right? Like, Or in other movies, it's at least that are like cartoon based, where like black characters are just like animals for half the film or more than half
the
film.
I didn't see it that way. Like, I did hear of a lot of critique about Soul for that reason, but I didn't really.
You didn't read it that way. I know it doesn't read that way, but it's also just like, could you just have given. But then apparently Tina Fey was the one doing digital blackface when she was the one voicing. There's a part.
There are a ton of digital blackface is so common. Like what Family Guy, the Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
That's voiced by a white actor.
And that was the same thing that was happening on Big Mouth as well. Until they actually change it up halfway through season 4.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
I was like, this doesn't even sound like the same character.
They said it in an episode. They were like, I can't be. I'm a white lady voicing a black lady. Oh, Charlie. And then the next episode, it was like, and black, guess who black in the house? He's cacking about.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you should watch Big Mouth, though. It's a great,
it's a pretty good show. Yeah. I like the one about the, the Black Radar? Or the...
Code Switching.
The Code Switching, yes.
Yes, yeah. Which is a very... Yeah,
yeah, at first, it's like, what?
Yes.
Did you feel seen?
I did feel seen in the worst way. It was like, okay, yes, survival strategy. And then they also called it out, too, queer people as in the queer community, and it's like... it was really well done. So check it out. But more on the topic of Black History Month. What are you doing specifically during this month?
So very swift.
We said segue like the ocean, crashing up against the shore.
So for Black History Month, I've been doing some prompts on social media. So I've tried to do it on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I don't think that the Twitter peeps are really vibing with them, so I'm just doing them on like TikTok and Instagram. So encouraging people to research prominent Black individuals as well as certain terms such as like AVE and digital blackface actually was the most recent one that I did on Instagram. And no surprises there, like not a lot of engagement.
Oh yeah, same. Because, the same thing happening on my account too.
Yeah, I think that like, especially when it comes to the thing that I've noticed, and I've only done a few of them so far, we're also recording this, what are we today, the 10th, so still have a few to go, but so far when I post terms for people to like look up, there is less engagement. But whenever I like ask people to look up like a person or an individual, then there's like they come with all the receipts. And I think because it's like there's that distance as well where you can establish when you're looking up someone who's like a sociologist or a historian, you can refer to them and their work and it's like far from you.
Yeah.
But when you're referring to digital blackface or AAVE and cultural appropriation, that is something that a lot of people partake in actively. And I think that there is some resistance there in terms of naming that and calling
there's
it out.
There's also, I think, a level of like guilt, shame, embarrassment that comes with it too. I notice a lot online where you like are clearly calling out, even when you do it in the most subtle of ways.
Yes.
Like input any Black activists from Brazil that you know.
Yeah.
Like just type it here and people will be like, I know many.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like ways in which people just show they're like, I'm not ready to engage with this kind of. I think I'm doing like kind of similarly with social media, at least on the social media side, but kind of trying to interweave my like love of animals with that and looking at like wildlife education through the lens of Black history, which has been kind of interesting, and just looking at different aspects about the urban environment and the natural environment of like both places that I come from, so like Brazil and Jamaica, just like expanding that out to researching a bit more. And it's also been fun because I've been able to do some like art and creating, which I haven't gotten to do in a long time. I'm excited to share it, but I recently just got to be a part of this visual essay called Yellow. And it was me and this cast and crew of like only Black people. And we were just putting together this, like, yeah, it's not going to be super long. I think it's, like, under an hour, but this, like, mm-hmm. yeah, nice story that weaves together history and culture and, like, this level. I don't know. It's just, I'm really excited for y'all to see it, but I haven't gotten to, like, create and, like, do art in a very mm-hmm. long time, and it's just really nice. Last time I did it, it was, like, high school sort of arena, so just, like, around a lot of white people, and mm-hmm. just it's so nice being able to, like, create, like, to come up with choreo and, like, set design and do, like, floral work with, like, other black people. And it was, like, this, it just vibed and flowed so much better. That's and cool. to learn so much, too, from the process. Do you know about floreography?
No, not at all.
Okay, we won't get too much into it because it's far too much. But essentially, it was just, like, black people used to, like, and, well, yeah, black people mainly, but floreography was essentially a way of, like, designing, like, floral bouquets to send, like, secret messages. Oh. And so, like, using flowers as a means of, like, coded communication.
That's really cool.
It is just, yeah, really cool. And it came out in peace and, yeah. We'll get to it.
That reminds me of, like, cornrows and stuff that were used to, like, map out places. And there was also, like, putting seeds, too, into the braid so that people could... You could transport seeds across, like, regions where if you just, like, braided it into your hair.
Which is wild, because so you intense. Don't learn this in school, especially here in Canada, right? Like, I don't think we do a good job at all, right, about teaching black history. What do you think? Well,
yeah.
Do you think Canada does a good job about that? Like, do you find black history is brought up enough in Canada?
I think it's by design, though, because, like, the Canadian story is a very whitewashed story. And it's one that really did, I say this all the time, but I think that Canada has an amazing PR team.
Because
the way that they just...
And for a $10 bill.
The way that they just swept black history, black people under the rug in history, like my dad, I remember he would have conversations with every one of my history teachers because it was just never discussed.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to learn about the history of black people, especially in Eastern Canada, you had to dig for that information.
You had to dig. And when you dug for it, there was never any nuance, right? There was never also the attachment of how colorism is coming into play. Like here in Canada, right, it was very dramatic when they put out the new $10 bill with Viola Desmond on it. And all the white supremacists were like, why you put a black person on a $10 bill? And it's like, okay, well, if we're actually going to have a conversation about this, this is like a very light-skinned black femme,
mm-hmm.
right? Understanding like just even the amount of experiences that have happened in Nova Scotia to entire black communities. And we could talk about Africville to the time mm-hmm. comes home, right? Where it was like a community developed while slavery was still legal in Canada, then it thrived 150 years after that. People living there, paying taxes, an entire community of black people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people would be like, well, why are there so many black people in Brazil? Not recognizing that so many people from the Caribbean specifically settled in
mm-hmm.
Nova Scotia. It was a fucking triangle that was anyway. Can't get into the details of it, but Africville, that one was wild too, because you have people there paying taxes and being like, okay, government, can you like provide trash disposal, sewage, access to clean water, you know, things that we're seeing present day with indigenous communities, and then being like, no. And also, we're making this an industrial area, so we're going to bulldoze it and move it and just like demolish all your records and all your paper. It's just... Yeah, and people don't
Classic.
Know, like, and that is a huge part of Canadian history that maybe could have actually focused and centered around, like, darker skinned black femmes who were definitely victimized during that experience, or just this story in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like, this one sort of individual. And not to say that's not a good thing, but it's just, like, nuance around these conversations and looking at how Canada doesn't even want to go deeper. And if they
mm-hmm.
do even decide to scratch the surface, it's like, oh, we're gonna pick this light-skinned femme to be the one that, okay, you're good with this? Okay, goodbye. Like, it's just, it's all so sinister, I think, in its design and in the ways in which it's deliberately sort of ignored, as you said. What do you think, though, about this sort of concept that at least I'm seeing online too, and nowadays more so, where at least, okay, let's backtrack actually, because when we were growing up, I don't know if it was the same for you, but for me, Black History Month was very much focused on like historical figure, like you learn like the classics, like, and peanut butter was invented by, like, we were just like, you know, you go into, we're not going to go into the actual history lessons of it, but what I'm seeing more so now, especially from like the Black community on social media, is this push towards like representing Black history in the making, and individuals who are currently right now, who are alive, that like are doing bits and bops that are not being discussed. What do you think about that?
I think it's really important to obviously highlight current events, because I think that like, I think that also goes back to the point that I made earlier about like when I asked people about defining certain terms like misogynoir or African American vernacular English, there's more of a hesitance there. But when it comes to honoring quote unquote historical figures that are very prominent, then they can, you know, sort of like get those receipts and like plug them in the comment section and sort of share their learnings without actually realizing that in like today, right now, Black history is happening, right? And making space for that, I think, is very important, because it's important to honor obviously people while they're here as opposed to just when they're gone. And it's important to at the same time, of course, acknowledge history, because without our ancestors who did tremendous work, right, we wouldn't be here today, right? Just, and it's a lot to sort of think of, because it's like even us sitting here right now speaking English is a product of colonization and like white terrorism.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just navigating to the language, and it's rough because you're limited in a lot of ways. And I think I'm like, I don't, especially when it comes to like gender and sort of like your pronouns and all of these things, I feel like they're just so, you're just so boxed in. And I don't think that the language that we have, that we're using right now, is capable of really embodying everything that we feel and sort of how we navigate this world.
Yeah. Well, I think on a just a little bit of an aside to that, or even building up on it, I should say, was that I genuinely don't think language is the best way to communicate. While it is the only way currently that we as a species have, like, I don't know about you, I don't have like telepathy on lock yet. So I can't just be out here being like, understand me completely.
Yeah.
But I think it's through the understanding the interactions of history and lived experiences and work, like, I don't know. I think it's.
But you could also like vibe and understand people on a like vibrational or like energy level.
Yes, but I think you have to have context to understand, right? It's like,
yes,
you can't
yes.
just be like, I hope to, you know, understand you by the words you say and just like by how you present yourself in the world. It's like, no, if your intention is to actually like understand people and connect with them, it's like you have to go out of your way to learn about people who are not like you, people who exist outside of your immediate reality, which is, for a lot of people, often doesn't include Black people, let alone Black queer people, or Black, specifically Black trans, Black non-binary people, right? And so it's like extra important, at least for me, that like these individuals from my community are given platforms and given a voice, because it's like, hello.
I don't even like, that's the thing, like, because with Black History Month, it's, I'm seeing a lot of Black content creators creating, like, videos and, like, informational tools to help people learn. And the other day, I made this video on TikTok, and I said, if you're white and you're on my page and you learn something that was by accident, because nothing I do is to benefit you.
Yeah.
And there was this white person in the comment section, they're like, oh, well, isn't it Black History Month? Like, aren't we supposed to be learning? I'm sorry, I'm a little confused because English is not my first language. And I was like, honey, like, you don't, I didn't say honey, but I was like, you, like, the issue here is not comprehension. It's like, you don't understand how white supremacy operates. And this idea that Black people exist to educate, it's just so problematic.
But it's also like, I mean, we've talked about this. Yeah, not everyone has, like, research abilities or critical thinking, but it's just, like, there is a really wide, the amount of accessibility when it comes to information, what we can actually access online, is phenomenal right now in the age that we're living in, right? If you have the ability to comment on my Instagram post, you also have the ability to type into Google.
Yeah.
And, or not just type into Google, but, like, go on links, read through articles, click through searches, develop a sort of understanding about things, read other opinion pieces. It's like that people will, I think we've said this so many times, but it's like, if you want to save up for something, you like look up how to do that. You look up how to budget. You look up if you want to write an assignment for school, you look up how to do that.
Yeah.
If there are things in your life that you like find important for one reason or another, you go and you find out that information.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so obviously you're just highlighting the fact that you don't find Black people or Black history important enough that you would go out of your way to do this and find this information before jumping into my DMs or into my comments with your whack, most basic ass questions, being like, well, what is this?
Yeah.
Or
aren't we supposed to learn this month? And it's like, yeah, you're supposed to learn. We're not supposed to teach you for free, though.
For free.
That was never the that's never the interaction that we should have. And this, it just so, very backwards. And I haven't really seen a shift in terms of like how people engage with me, in terms of like the kinds of things that people that I follow are sharing. It seems like it was like, oh, happy Black History Month, like at the beginning of the month. And now we're like only the 10th that we're recording.
Right.
And it's like,
but this
is
also, I think you bring up an interesting point, right? Because when we focus solely on the history, I think a lot of people on the outside get this idea that it's something in the past, something distant, something separate, right?
Yeah.
And they're learning in this very apolitical, harmless way in this environment that's without nuance or devoid of impact. And it's just like, no, actually, you are existing within the legacy of those who literally directly impacted the people that you're learning about.
Yeah.
So it's like you need to sit here and understand that there is a weight and a burden in at least learning.
At the very least.
At least learning how you are actually directly connected to Black history and to Black, like the Black experience, right? It's like you actually have to understand that. It's not about this separate thing or this thing that happened in the past. And that's why I think it's so... it's not necessarily problematic focusing solely on the history, at least here in America, or not America, but in Canada and North America. But why I think it needs to go beyond that, right? And looking more so at an inclusive lens that incorporates more than just history.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it sort of segues to
our
case study.
Case study, which is... you wanna read the receipt.
So I actually did have something to add onto that before we get into the segment about read the receipt.
Not me segueing too quickly.
Oh, God.
You wanted to chat about the history aspect of it, I think, a little bit more.
Why is it that I had it, like, I had it on lock, and I was just like...
But this is the thing, right? Is that I feel like so often we'll, like, have, like, such, like, I have this thing in my mind. I want to get it. And then it's, like...
crickets.
It's just, yeah, the freeze. Do y'all ever experience that? Where you're, like, just, like, getting ready to talk about something, and then your mouth literally opens, and the sound of air comes out?
I just didn't say anything because it's going to be harder to edit. So I'd rather just not say something if I'm thinking about it. But yeah, like I was just going to say, like typically for me, Black History Month is a blur for the most part. Like it's to me.
Every year or just this year?
Like every year, because it's kind of like the same things get thrown out. Like you learn about the same.
What about 2008?
Couldn't tell you.
That was the year that the Proud Family did their Black History Month episode.
I didn't know that the Proud Family was out in 2008. I was like in high school. Anyway,
you were not in high school.
Yes, I was, because I
were not, because I
was
not.
I am from Quebec.
Oh yes, you're right.
And
you're right,
I am
right.
A year ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. thank you. Started kindergarten at 4 years old.
Okay.
So check those receipts.
Receipts read me.
And just because the educational system in Quebec is a little different, so you don't have
in Ontario. Can you explain?
Or the rest of Canada or North America, for that matter. Yeah. So essentially, you don't have middle school, so it's like you go to elementary school until sixth grade, and then you go to high school for 5 years, and then you go to CJEP, which is like kind of like college.
High school, but you weren't like high school grade.
It's high school to me.
It was just a building that was, but when you're in, but there are high schools that have, that go from kindergarten to grade 12, so it's not like the kindergartners are like, I'm a high schooler.
That's different,
though. No, it's not. That's exactly what you're saying.
No.
They're all in the same building.
Okay, hopefully there's someone from Quebec that can understand, but yeah, I was in high school then. I just started, but I was still in high school. In 2008, so,
Okay.
And then, so I was just saying.
Sorry, I need to focus.
Ooh, you're good. So, yeah, typically, I feel like the same facts, the same years just get thrown, and then people are like, oh my gosh, I never knew this. Oh my gosh, I didn't know this. Oh my god, and then
how do you not know?
Yeah,
at this point,
and then
how do you not know?
And then it's just then March rolls around and people forget, and then it's oh, it's February again and Black History Month. I just feel like we're disregarded, disrespected day to day.
Let's just not act
like this month you feel any different towards Black people. I would just like for people to be consistent. You know what I mean? If you're here to celebrate Black history and learn and all that stuff, then you better keep that energy in my comment section. Then you better keep that energy when you're engaging with Black people on the interwebs or in real life.
Yeah.
It just does not translate. I think that it's so performative, and I think that it's great that we do have that time that is carved out, because I'm at least there is the incentive for people to sort of learn about Black history and our contributions to society during that time, because it's sad to say, but without that, I don't think that it would offer people enough of a springboard to do that research.
Which is just so ludicrous to me, right? Yeah. It's you need to be told with a month, but it's also just this concept of people being I'm too overwhelmed by information. It's
exactly.
But no one's saying that you have to do everything at
once. Exactly. You have your entire life to learn about that. And I think that I started that series where I just offer prompts and stuff for Black History Month, and I'm not doing it every day, because it's that's going to be a lot of work for me, and I'm not here to just create labor for free or whatever.
Yeah.
And then someone I did one, and they're oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Are you gonna be doing this for the whole month?
And I'm just watching your PayPal being where's the tip?
Yeah. And I was I was no, I think I'll just do it when I feel like it. And they're oh, I'm sorry if this came off as though I'm expecting you to do this. It would just be nice to sort of
that's
orient.
That's where they should have ended it.
And they're I just think it would be nice to orient my research. And I was just yeah, it did sound that way. And I just left it there, because it's you do an inch and then people ask for a fucking mile. You know what I'm saying? And it's I shouldn't, these prompts that I'm doing, obviously it's I'm glad that people are engaging and so you're participating, because it's otherwise, who knows when these people would have done that research, right? And that's also why I'm not just creating a video about this and talk. I'm you do the research, and then come back. Because it too often, the information is just right at your fingertips and people just don't even.
But I think people don't recognize, how it's annoying, because sometimes it's at least I'm sitting here where I'm I actually would love to have a hearty conversation about specifically things that I'm really passionate about, environmental racism, right? Mm. It's I want to talk about just things that I know about or things that I am interested in. Mm-hmm. And it's people will be well, what's Chemical Valley? Or, I actually don't, I've never heard the term environmental racism. Mm-hmm. Or I don't understand how conservation could be racist. Or I don't understand how national parks could be racist. Or I don't understand how, and I'm just okay, if you don't understand...
But because people are not connecting the dots, and I think that that's the gag.
Yeah.
It's because with white supremacy, you're taught to see things in categories and in boxes, and until you unlearn that and sort of see how all systems are truly interconnected, you're going to... Someone's going to mention environmental racism, and you're going to be like, what do you mean?
But it's also just,
you know, for me,
it's like, it's ludicrous, because even when you get that response, like, what do you mean? It's like, well, how local is the information that you're engaging with? Because it's like, there are communities who exist, like, beyond your own, out there in the world, who are saying what is happening to them very clearly. And it's just like, or there are situations where, like, the entire world is saying something together very clearly that's, like, very racist. Like, the entire Bushmeat crisis that was, like, perpetuated by the U.S., I could not, when they wanted to be, like, this top-down approach to being, like, there are too many animals that are being killed in Africa for meat. And I'm just like, okay, we need to have a giant conversation about what it is you're fucking then proposing, being like, oh, well, conservation areas and lock off, and we're not even going to engage in communities or find alternative solutions, or be like, y'all created an entire situation. Like, I can't even get into the depths of the story in the podcast, because it's just like, I could talk about this for too long. And so I think, tying that back to what I was saying earlier, is that people don't really care. And they show that a lot.
Yeah.
This month, specifically. Mm-hmm. Right? By the type of questions they ask, by the type of comments they leave, by the ways in which they think that Black history is this thing. It's only Black history, as if there isn't, like, a Black person you're talking to that isn't experiencing life and creating history right now.
And also, like, dealing... There was someone who, like, commented... So, like, my friend Princess, she, like, recently got on TikTok, and she's almost at 1,000 followers. You should follow her. Her at is the Yoruba Babe. And anyway, she, like, made a video talking about, like, Black, I think, like, slavery in the Ottoman Empire. And she hadn't mentioned, obviously, like, white people who were also, like, enslaved, because it's not her history to say or to tell. And then there was this white person that was like, oh, well, like, what about white people? Like, we were also enslaved. And this idea. And it's like,
what about white people?
And that energy is just so problematic, because it's like, we don't live in a Black supremacist world. We live in a white supremacist world wherein white people, regardless of your ethnicity, if you are a white person, you benefit from that system. And it's like, why am I going to take on, during Black History Month, nonetheless, the responsibility of speaking to your ancestors and the specific sorts of, like, experiences that they had. Like, that is your history to tell. And I think that it's just, really problematic that we're expected to just, like, carry that burden, I guess, of addressing histories that aren't ours, especially when our history is not even told properly.
Or even told at all. And then when it is... There are
What about this? What about that? Well, I'm Irish, and it's like, you're just so ridiculous right now. And it's just like, pretty exhausting.
But it's not even just like, it's not even just when we tell our stories, it's met with such, like, backlash and vitriol. It's also the fact that there is straight up nothing that happens, like, even in present day. Like, you look at I remember being so shocked listening and hearing about the story of, like, Emmett Till, and then finding out that the white girl who literally accused him was then came out, like, now when she's 75
she
or whatever, and she's like, oh, I lied about that. I got all these white people to, like, literally go and lynch this little Black boy.
He was, like, 14 years
14
old.
14 years old.
Yeah.
And she's out here writing a book.
She's not in prison.
She's not even arrested. She's not out here. Statute of limitations. Well, there's that. It's just like, it's exhausting.
The levels of disrespect with, like,
it's not even
disrespect.
I love that. It's violence, right?
Yeah.
It's violence that goes across generations.
And
that
we're
disrespected
to carry.
Yeah.
I love that Emmett Till's mom was like, no, we're having an open face, like, coffin.
Yeah,
like
casket.
Casket, to show
the brutalization.
Yeah, and that was like, that was a catalyst for the civil rights movement as well.
Which then also people don't know, because then
yeah.
they've put these photos in black and white and people are like, it happened long ago. And it's like, no, they were deliberately
put in black and white so that
people think of them as happening long ago. It's like, you can find color, they were taken in color.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Yeah.
I just... And it's like, all of this happened, Africville, for example, all of the civil rights, all of this is like the 60s. This is not that long ago. Right?
And, yeah.
We even just lived through the largest civil rights movement of my lifetime. Right, this past summer, I can't.
The
layers.
Like, the first Black History Month was observed in Nova Scotia in 1988.
That's after my parents
mm-hmm.
were born.
Yeah, that's like a decade before us.
That's a decade
before we were born.
Yeah, only
1988,
which makes so much sense as to why we experience what we experience in Canada, because it's literally like. The 90s, that's where people were like, I think maybe it would be, maybe Black people,
Because in 1978, essentially, the Ontario Black History Society was established, and then the founders proclaimed February as Black History Month, but it was never actually, like, observed until, like, 10 years later, which is kind of wild when you look at the history in the U.S., because, I mean, yeah, it only was... recognized in 1976, so we're like 10 years behind.
10 years behind, but what I think what's shocking about that is look at the gap, right? Because look at the gap between when slavery ended and then when you're gonna allegedly ended slavery, quote unquote, before the U.S. and then thought about Black people in this way of like a month of celebration after them. Look at that gap. That goes to highlight Canada being as like
even
literally. The most basic of bitches.
But even within that gap, it's like in the U.S. at least, it was in 1926 that a historian, Carter G. Woodson, began Negro History Week.
In 1926.
And then only in 1976 was it a month that was recognized. And I think it actually expanded from a week thing to a 3 week thing.
So that's not that long, because
it's not that
slavery
long.
Slavery abolished in what, Canada? 1865? And then it wasn't until 1988, so over
But I think it's important to remember.
Ooh.
It's important to remember that, like, the abolition of slavery
didn't actually
was not
anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was not a segue for people to then celebrate
Black people.
They were
here.
They were not ready to do that at all. They were like, okay, I guess we can no longer extract free labor from you, but we will extract discounted labor from you.
Also, we're going to criminalize everything you do.
Everything you do is loitering, and then you have no rights if you're
And then we can actually get free labor from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Oh,
so,
my
I think
goodness. The girlies, the white supremacist girlies sitting around that table just chuckling their boots, and I'm like,
But I think it makes sense, though. And the gap definitely makes sense, because they weren't trying to celebrate us at all.
Yeah.
Right. In fact,
it's just very reactionary.
But that just shows also how resilient we are, because
did you say Brazilian?
Oh,
we are
gosh. Ready for the segue, I guess.
Just kidding. I am half Brazilian, but that's not Brazilian.
I was so brasileiro. I'm not though.
Parabéns.
Parabéns para vocês.
And with that, let's get into our read the receipts.
Is it a read the receipts or case? Oh, okay.
Read the receipts. Deixe-me ir, preciso andar, vou por aí a procurar, e pra não chorar. Insert. Tambourines. Eu assisti o Zona. Those are all the lyrics, but
those are not the lyrics.
Could you tell? This is hint.
So if you watch 3%, that song should be familiar to you. Arn, this was for you. So today's Read the Receipts segment is about Afro-Brazilians.
Yeah, and that song was actually sang by an Afro-Brazilian, Lini Kerr. A non-binary, wonderful individual who just has the voice of an angel.
Yeah. a lot of range for what they look like. Literally, I would 50, not have expected that.
They have no, they are the, the thinnest little thing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my goodness, and they out here being like, like, I can't do that.
Okay. Beyonce. I don't know why you tried. But, like, after we're talking about this person's genius and talent, you're like, yeah, this is what they sound like. So if you didn't know, Brazil is home to the largest population of Black people outside of the continent of Africa, which is astounding when you actually think of it. Sit down and think of it. Over half of the population is either of like Black descent or mixed race in some way. And yeah, they have like 91 million.
More than the U.S.
Yeah, I think so. Let me check that.
Well, yeah, I just think it's wild when we think about just the Black diaspora in diaspora. I never know how to say that word.
Diaspora.
Diaspora.
Yeah.
In general, because it is so
we're really
vast.
Out here.
We literally
we're
be
really
out
here.
Here
yeah.
In every part of the world being like, hello.
Yeah.
And every day I'm like finding out more. I'm like, what? I just recently found out that there were like Black samurai. I'm like, of course there were. Not surprised there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, which of course is definitely a dark legacy, but back to Brazil.
Yes, yes.
Why do we want to bring up Brazil specifically though for the case study? Why did we, for read the receipts. Okay, y'all, we're workshopping this segment name. So.
Because I don't know if read the receipts, like we're not like, are we
these
reading
are Brazil's
the receipts?
Receipts.
I don't know if we can claim to be the owners.
I'm half Brazilian. No, I can't. No, we can't own it. That's very colonial.
No, like own the receipts to
Brazil
or be able to offer
them. Well, we could read them. That's the thing. We don't own them.
Read the receipt. Okay,
we're
sure.
Just reading them.
Yeah,
they printed it.
Sure. Let's move out of that. So. We were talking about Black History Month, and so we're looking sort of at an equivalent to see what that looks like across the world. And given that there are so many Black people in Brazil, felt, what's that word? Appropriate. There you go.
Mm.
Felt appropriate to sort of see what their equivalence is. So they...
Well, Black History Month, but here in North America, it's February. In the UK, it's
yeah.
like October, but Brazil...
Yeah, I think they observe it in October, but I was seeing that they also... I don't know.
The UK does something else in February, too?
It, like, from the, like, research that I did, it's, they, like, listed the US, Canada, and the UK, and I'm like, well,
I
no,
really don't
they
think,
celebrated
the UK,
in October.
Yeah, the UK is October.
Yeah, so I don't know. Mixed,
anyway.
Mixed,
Brazil's also
that.
A different month, right?
Yeah, Brazil is November, so they chose, so it's actually not called Black History Month, it's called the Month of Black Consciousness, or Mês da Consciência
Negra.
Negra.
Mês de la?
Da.
Da.
Da Consciência.
Da Consciência.
Yeah. And so it started off with a day that they had on November 20th in honor of Zumbi dos Palmares.
Oh, the bomb warrior.
Yes, so he was a Brazilian of Congolese descent who was one of the pioneers of resistance to slavery of Africans by the Portuguese in Brazil. And he died November 20th, 1695. Isn't that wild?
I mean, I don't really know. Yeah, 1695 feels like a long time ago.
Yeah. But that's like how far back you can sort of, you can actually trace the... like Black people in South and Central America to further back.
For
but,
even further, I'm
yeah.
sure, right? As we all know, Black history has only very recently become something that people want to talk about.
Exactly. But I just think the concept
to destroy
of like,
it actively
yeah.
from the jump.
And just 1695, it just feels so
1695 does
so
feel
far
like
away.
A long time. But it also then kind of does sort of paint the picture, not paint the picture, but you kind of understand why there is such... like deep roots specifically to Africa in Brazil.
Yeah.
And this comes out so much in
music
the
especially.
Yeah, the intersection of culture and music.
Yeah.
Especially with, I was doing some research for a wildlife post on social media, and then I came across this religion, I believe it's pronounced Canandoble, and it's Essentially, like a mixture of Yoruba and a couple other West African tradition, like religions, I should say.
Right.
And it has it occupies, like, it uses similar deities, like the Orishas. Like, it's just very interesting, and even how they celebrate the spiritual through, like, dance and music and community. And it just it's so interesting that there is such a I guess very prominent connection back to Africa that is still very much practiced in Brazil today.
I wonder too, like, how much the population size also had to do with that, because there are just so many of them in one place.
Yeah.
And if you look at sort of like Haiti being one of the most sort of like rebellious countries, and so they also compared to like other countries in the, or I should say islands, because they're not all countries, but like islands in the Caribbean, like created their own language and their own sort of like very, which is quite specific to Haiti, because other islands in the Caribbean, we speak like Patois or English.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, speaking Creole is not, you know, really common across the other.
It's not.
So then you, and then it's, if you really also not. Look at their population size, that also probably had something to do with it. And I think that, like, the fact that in Brazil, that you're not separated by an island, right? It's easier to isolate populations, especially if you look at the Caribbean.
Yeah.
If you have them contained to a small, like, how are they going to rebel? How
and
are
it's
they going
easier
to
make that sort
you know?
Of separate sense of identity
yes,
and separate
exactly.
them. Whereas in
yeah.
Brazil, you do have you, this very clear amalgamation.
Yeah.
I actually think it's rather beautiful. Like,
oh,
you see
yeah.
When
yeah.
you combine, not necessarily combine, but you weave together. Because
mm-hmm.
It's artistry in how different aspects of Black culture across the world are woven into and are shown on display in Brazil.
Yeah.
It's really, yeah.
I think it's, like, interesting, too, that you see, like, regardless of the fact that there is such a large Black population in Brazil, you still see a lot of anti-Blackness. And there is there's a lot of vitriol towards Black people, regardless of the fact that they represent the majority of the population. And also because
beyond vitriol. Like, it's the level of Donald Trump, like, level. Like,
yeah.
people be out here, they don't understand that Brazil, as president, like, Jair Bolsonaro, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Literally was, like, at one point he's on video saying, he's like, yeah, I would never let my son date a Black person.
Yeah.
That would just be, no, never. And it's just like the vitriol that Black people are met with in Brazil is still rampant.
Yeah.
It's still rampant. And it's wild, though, because at least, so coming from, like, my family sort of perspective of it, it's like, it's so sinister how it's talked about and discussed. Because at least in North America, people like, kind of own up to their racism in a way, or they like lean into it a bit more. But there is just such this level of denial, at least when I have these conversations. And it was like, my like mom's sisters were so racist towards the fact that, like, well, just racist in general, the fact that my mom was dating this like Black man, and like all of these things came up from that. Or even just recently being like this is racist, and then being like, well, I don't see a problem with that. Like, they just have no understanding. And it's not necessarily to say that this is the case for like all of Brazilians, but it just, it's really sinister, I think, the way in which racism operates in Brazil, because it's met with such a thick wall of delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what's really sinister, what I think happens, at least a lot in Brazil specifically, is that we see religion weaponized a lot as a sort of defense, or as a sort of way of being like having a conversation of, well, I'm religious and therefore I'm infallible. There is no conversation because I'm not doing this for you. It's like, oh, I don't see color kind of thing. It's very much like,
okay, so this colorblind narrative I think is also
very much,
very,
I'm just like a child of God and so are you, therefore we're the same. It's like, it's no, it's,
but I think it's also
there's
so
nuance.
I think it's so prevalent because of the amount of racial sort of like intermixing that has happened in Brazil, and so a lot of people have African sort of
lineage.
Some more apparent than others. And I think that that sort of complicates a conversation around Blackness.
Yes.
But even to this day, you have what you would say, I don't like this term fully black, but you have dark skinned black individuals in Brazil who undoubtedly face the brunt of anti-blackness because of colorism, right?
Yeah.
But those conversations I feel like aren't really talked about that much because people assume like, oh, we're like this post-racial sort of society because like everyone is like a little bit of everything.
And that's not how that
and
works.
And that's not how that works.
That's not how it works. You
but,
can be a light-skinned black person or mixed and be mixed with black. But you also have to recognize that like, it's not, that doesn't absolve you.
And that doesn't solve sort of like the racial tension and the issues at hand. And especially as someone like coming from a Canadian and Caribbean perspective, I've spoken about this a lot on like social media and I have like a few like Latinx and like followers and stuff. They're like, oh yeah, well like here it's more. And I'm like, I hate to be that person, but it's like the fact that people look different does not change racism.
And
right?
It's also not the case when you actually look at dark skin people who are out here in Brazil creating content. Like, I can't help think of like darker skinned individuals, like artists, for example, making music, like Nika, who is literally out here telling like queer black stories, being like, this is actually the realities that we're facing.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the song right now off the top of my head, but I remember watching this video where like, so a huge part of the video was silent and it was, then, and it, what was happening was this like assault on this queer deaf person, but that was, came it was visually and I guess represented through the lack of audio and it was just very interesting in the way that he did it and his relationship with, and it was just it's just like, listen to dark skinned people, listen to black people, listen
always.
It's just like it's very much this idea that somehow the experience is uniform across the black diaspora is wild
to
me. But what I do think what's really nice in Brazil, right, as opposed to here in North America, where you, because at least with this Black Consciousness Day or a month, is that there is a focus or at least a push to more of a conversation, right, to employing ideas that are being developed right now here in present day by Black scholars, by Black activists, by Black people in the community who are literally like, let's have a conversation about the ways in which we're treated and being discussed. I'm like, I don't know. I think you kind of also really were vibing with that fact, right? That it was
just the fact that even in the name, right, it's not Black History, it is our consciousness. And
or
it's,
awareness,
it's more of a,
it's
like our collective sort of understanding of our current experiences. And of course, your current experiences are informed by past experiences, right? So that makes sense that like, the history aspect is weaved in there, but more so as opposed to like Black History Month that we observe here in North America, that's very much focused, as we said, on the history of like our ancestors and their contributions. It's more so they're a lot more direct as well, and they talk about the state's current relationship to Black people and current issues that are affecting Black people. And I think that, yes, this idea of like, it's a month where we are aware of our, we are just more heightened, like it's just like the awareness is heightened when it comes to our experiences as Black people. And I think that that is really what's needed because we don't need more time to, reflect on the past. It's like, it's happening right now because the more, and we've said this before, but it's like the more that we focus on the past, the more that we look at that, we sort of see that in a vacuum and we don't understand how that is sort of just a, that is happening now.
Yeah.
Like slavery forms of, it's happening now.
Yeah.
The disregard, the vitriol that is thrown towards Black people, it's happening now.
Yeah.
White supremacy, happening now.
And understanding
so,
the ways in which it's transformed and how it's still happening is almost more important for you to be able to recognize it in your life. And that's why I think, especially from, again, going back to like dark skin, Black, content creators from Brazil, I can't but help think of like people who are just doing amazing work, like Puma Camille. Like if y'all don't know, go to Instagram, check out Puma, PUMACAMILLE. Is this non-binary like capoeira voguer, which is just so beautiful when you look at it, right? Because when you look at the story of voguing being developed here in North America and in New York by Black people, pioneered by Black and the queer culture, And the underground scene essentially has this more a form of queer expression and movement and forming community through families and houses. Then understanding also that that legacy is then also tied to capoeira and how slaves used it as a form of getting martial art training and passing on the ability to defend yourself and protect yourself through, but disguised as dance, and merging those two legacies together across Black cultures, across history. It's just, it's so beautiful. And they're just doing this work. And I'm just like, Brazilian specifically, their ability, I think, and it comes from this like type of, I guess, attention to awareness and consciousness, right?
Yeah.
Are conscious in how Black history is influencing and
shaping
the right now, and they use it to communicate. And it's like, I love Brazil for that,
mm-hmm.
and especially artists like Puma Camille. And I think, I think it was really cool that we got to do sort of a Brazilian focus for this week's Read the Receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode.
Yeah.
Actually, really quickly, we should just mention that it's, you know, as Black History Month ends, that does not mean your learning should end.
Very well said.
Just like when you post a black square on social media, doesn't mean you're doing anything. You actually have to continue. You have to try. You have to go out of your way to learn about Black people,
mm-hmm.
both history and now.
Yeah.
Right? Focus. And more so on the ways in which, or at least start connecting the ways in which you directly are connected.
How you engage with Black people in present time.
Yeah.
And decolonizing that, because many of us have been just socialized into this white supremacist world. And so there's a lot to unpack and a lot to unlearn. And many people have just been privy to white supremacy this past summer.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of stuff to
and
unpack.
Sometimes you learn something that's like, oh shit, I didn't realize that I contributed to this or was a legacy of this or I'm a part of this. But guess what? Now you can like take that knowledge and change and do things for the better. Right?
Yeah. And let your actions speak more than
your
words. I think that it's
your
there's a lot of virtue signaling happening,
especially
on the
Black
interwebs
History
and on Black
History
Month, and it's like it just do the work, just you know what I mean,
just
treat us with respect.
Yeah.
And
and if you're asking us to do work, pay us.
Yeah, that's
always, not just now.
Yes.
And with that, this has been
did you want
to go to notes? Wait, actually, before we leave, we
have a review. Okay, so thank you so much to those of you who have participated in our giveaway. So
we have actually someone we want to read out, on the podcast today. That's Jaco Brands. Shout us out with a 5-star review. Thank you, Jaco.
So
you want to read the review for
yes,
us?
Yes, I will. So the review title is, "You have no reason to not listen to Goats and Oats."
Damn.
So
okay,
from
Jaco.
The bat, thank you. Goats and Oats is quite literally a top tier podcast. I truly look forward to the episodes every week. Zipporah and Jalen discuss topics such as identity, veganism, speciesism, and so much more in a way that sparks introspection. I appreciate this podcast not only as an educational resource, but as entertainment. This podcast feels like a FaceTime call with your friends in the best possible way.
Oh.
I know, right? So sweet.
I don't even FaceTime.
All right. I really hope that more people find Goats and Oats because it deserves so much more attention. Love the new segment, by the way. Oh, thank you.
Yes. Did they say what they call it? Did they say love the new segment? Read the receipts.
No,
they just said
love the new segment. By the way.
Okay,
so,
cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for that review. And the winner of the giveaway
will be, drumroll please, announced. And we just like to remind you that we have a GoFundMe campaign on right now to help with the podcast. So if you aren't feeling as though you want to like sign up for one of our Patreons, feel free to head over to Goats and Oats podcast on Instagram and check out our link.
Mm-hmm.
We have the GoFundMe there. Any amount literally helps, like $1,
$2. We're looking to get like better equipment,
$100,
potentially
$1,000, whatever you're feeling.
Potentially settling in on some like getting some studio so that the sound is a little better for you.
Yes.
So that's what that's going to go towards. And also for the giveaway, we didn't mention what you're going to win. So we're giving away a vegan cookbook. That's, I think it's a Vancouver plant-based foodie or something like that.
Yeah.
And we're also giving away two mini speakers. So
they're portable, waterproof, yeah, and perfect for spending time on the beach with a pet, loved one, or friend this summer.
I think maybe it would be better to like listen to the podcast when you're just like...
Oh yeah, with this portable speaker. You can do it in the bathtub.
You can do a bathtub if you're doing a little bath. So...
And with that, we just like to remind y'all, as always, you can check us out on our social media platforms. Me at Jaunting J.
And I am Zipporah the Vegan on Instagram and TikTok. And you can also find me now on Clubhouse. My at is Zip the Vegan, Z-I-P the Vegan. And that's the same username as Twitter, actually. If you don't have me on Twitter, highly recommend.
That was for me. I was like, don't tell them to find me on Twitter.
I did
don't
not.
Do it.
Yeah, so why was me talking about my Twitter?
That was
you talking about
me
Twitter?
Giving myself a face. I wasn't looking at you.
See, if you didn't even mention that, people wouldn't have thought about it. But now I'm sure people are like, oh, I wonder what they're hiding.
Well,
and
I'm
they
not
are going
anything.
To find your Twitter.
I don't have Twitter.
Oh my god.
Okay, do you have Patreon?
I do have Patreon. So
what's that? Drop the link.
It's Zipporah the Vegan.
Okay.
Well, we typically link our Patreons on our Instagram social or handles on the bottom of the episode. So if you don't know where to find us, if you're just like stumbling through podcasts and you found this one, pretty hectic, I guess, episode ending, but you know us.
Yeah. Your engagement, your shares,
even just
your
leaving
likes,
these reviews,
your reviews,
like these
all,
reviews are
they
gonna
all
go
really help.
Far.
So
yeah,
feel free to share with a friend, tell your mom, tell your uncle, tell your pet. I'm sure they would love to hear.
And we should do like a 1K giveaway that's open to Android users as well.
Okay, and with that, we're gonna leave. Bye,
bye,
y'all. Happy Black History Month.